Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah; Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin; Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and his brethren, and all that generation. Now let's go ahead and seek the Lord. Father, we're reading the story of Exodus. We're studying about the deliverance that you gave to the children of Israel. Lord, I believe in deliverance. I believe that you can deliver. I don't believe, as the Bible says, that there's anything too hard for you. And of course, Lord, we believe the Bible. The people listening to me have many, many troubles. Some are doing all right. Some, like anyone else, I suppose, is struggling with how do I pay the rent, or what do I do about my ex-wife, or what do I do about my kid on drugs, or whatever. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord, and I'm asking that you lift everyone up. Everyone that needs a boost, everyone that needs a miracle, everyone that needs an answer from God. I'm asking, Lord, that you would minister to them, that you would have compassion on them, that you would speak to them, that you would heal them, or whatever they need, Lord. You're the God that heals us. You're the God that supplies our needs. And Lord, we look to you today, and we ask you humbly to do these things. Lord, help us. And Lord, we're careful to give you the glory for that, and thank you, Lord. And also for this program, Lord, help me to preach what I believe you've given me to say, and the people, give them understanding. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, in the wonderful, glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm beginning the study of the Old Testament, as I said last week, and I started the previous chapter here in chapter 49, actually, I guess two chapters back, of the book of Genesis. Now, normally you would start in the beginning, and I will get back to Genesis, but I would like to go ahead and start it this way. Many of you know that I've taught typology, the study of types, in a Bible college here. I have some of my notes on my website. It's kind of hard to find. They're very incomplete. It's very rough form. But I'd like to go ahead and try and finish those notes. And along with the notes, when I present the notes, I will link these broadcasts. Obviously, I have them saved on my website. You can call it a podcast, if you will. But as I said, I'd like to start in the book of Exodus, telling the story of God's dealings with mankind and showing you how God, through the Old Testament, practically every chapter of it, will show us Jesus Christ, will show us how to live the Christian life, will show us something new about the Lord. Surely the Gospels and also the Epistles will give a lot of detail when you try to study about the Lord, but also the Old Testament gives a lot of information. And certainly his life was foretold in the Old Testament. Certainly his life was patterned after the things that we find in the Old Testament. But as I say, we're beginning here in Exodus, and it gives the story of how God's people ended up in the land of Egypt. We know that there was a famine. We can read back a few chapters before and read that story. And again, at some point, I'll get to it. But we pick the story up and we find that all of Israel is in the land of Egypt. We understand that Egypt is a type of the world. It's a symbol. It's a foreshadowing of the things that we struggle with as Christians. We're going to read about Pharaoh. We know that Pharaoh is a picture of Satan and his armies. We understand that those are demon spirits or what have you. The story is one that it tells that God's people are in bondage and they cry unto God and God sends a deliverer. And that is just like today. Man is, obviously everyone's a sinner. Everyone starts out that way. And a number of people will call out to God and ask him for help. And God will send to them his deliverer. Obviously, the passion of Christ has transpired 2,000 years ago. But if we look to him by faith, then we will have deliverance. We will find salvation. We will find forgiveness for our sins. We will find the answer to our troubles. So we can see that the book of Exodus, and in particular the deliverance story, we can see that it foreshadows the things that we have here in the New Testament and the things that we have here in our own lives. So let's go ahead and study and see what God has. Verse 7, and all the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And we know that in Joseph's time, the king made him a ruler almost. Anything that Joseph wanted, Joseph got. And he was a good steward over the things and the government. And he was rewarded for such. And obviously, he had a lot of favor with Pharaoh. But that man died. And someone else came up, and I don't know how many years passed. I understand that they were in Egypt about 400 years. You know, time passes, people forget things, history kind of goes away. But there was an evil king, or Pharaoh, in Egypt. And if you read the story, he was afraid that if there was some war that broke out with some other nation, that the Jews would side with that other nation, and then they would, the Egyptians would be defeated. And obviously during that time, as in all times, as many wars, and one country doesn't like another, and there are alliances between different nations and whatever, and they were afraid of an alliance between the Jews and anyone else trying to attack Israel. I don't think they had anything to fear. But they thought they had something to fear. And in verse 11, it says, therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Some say that the Jews also built some of the pyramids that we find in Egypt. Now, mankind, people in general, people in particular, you, me, people that we know, people in Africa, people everywhere. We're sinners. We start out, obviously, we can be saved. We can be washed and cleansed. And Paul said, such were some of you. We don't have to stay sinners in life. We can be forgiven. We can be changed from darkness to light. We can put off the old man and put on the new. And instead of living in sin, we can live for the Lord. And I understand that some religions or denominations will teach that sin remains with us and that we can't do anything but sin every day. But the Bible teaches that we can walk free of sin as we trust in the Lord and as we serve him and follow his word. But all men start out as sinners, and we are slaves to sin. Paul mentions that we're slaves to sin. Slavery to sin is hard. You look in the newspaper, you pick up the newspaper, And you can read about, well, they had another murder down in a certain part of town, or this politician was corrupt and was caught, or this woman shot her husband, or whatever. There's a number of different issues every day in the newspaper. And the troubles that we face and the things that go wrong in our lives are a direct result of sin in our lives. But God loves us. God sees us in our sinful state. God sees us, and it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't want to leave us in that situation of whatever sinful state, or whatever, maybe you're hooked on drugs, or who knows, whatever trouble that you're facing. And obviously we all know people that that have all manner of different things that they struggle with. But God loves us. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And you know this verse, John 3:16. But God loves us. God cares about us. And first off, God sent his Son to die for our sins. And second off, he will send someone, maybe, who knows, you might find that you might be driving down the road and hear some preacher on the radio, or flip across the channel and see some preacher, or maybe somebody invites you to church, or somebody witnesses to you on the street corner. In some manner or fashion, you come to hear the gospel. You hear that there's freedom from sin. You hear that there's a lifting of your burdens, and there's peace that can be found in Christ. And somehow you hear the gospel, and God's Spirit speaks to you, and you're drawn to that. And when you give your life to Christ, you find out, just like I found out, just like many of you can testify, the moment I got saved, the burden of sin lifted from off of my shoulders. Many times you've heard that it's like 1,000 pounds lifting off your shoulders. I felt that. I felt that. I felt such a relief in my heart, and a physical weight, it seemed, that lifted off of my shoulders when I got saved. I used to be hooked on dope, could not get away, wanted to get out, wanted to stop. But the moment I got saved, Jesus delivered me. He delivered me. I knew at that moment that I was set free. So God delivers. God sets people free. He set me free. He set some of your friends free. And I'm here to tell you, Christ can set you free. Whatever situation you're in, maybe it's not drugs, maybe it's something else, but Jesus can help you. He can lift you up. He can do something in your life. I know he can do it because he did it for me. But like I said, the Jews were slaves in Egypt. Just like we're slaves to sin, and the devil will afflict you, it says. You can have a torment in your mind. You can have torment in various ways in your life. But God comes to set you free. And that's the story of Exodus. But it says here in verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives hard, or bitter with hard bondage, it says, and mortar and brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Look at verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Serpha, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Now, that's cruel, that's terrible, but we have the record, and that's what happened. And you might ask, well, what's going on here? We think that when the Exodus happened, there were 3.5 million Jews. And again, they were afraid that there were too many Jews, and that in the event of a war, that they would side with the enemy. How do you get rid of 3.5 million people? Well, if you can interrupt their reproduction over a period of 10, 20 years, whatever, as time passes, you end up with a whole lot of women and not very many men. Now, if you leave things alone in another 20, 30 years, then you'll have a balance again. But you say, why kill the men? Well, we know that if in case of a war, it's men that fight, and that's what they were concerned about. But the midwives, in verse 17, feared God and did not as the king commanded them, but saved the men, children, alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and saved the men, children, alive? Because the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered as soon as the midwives come in to help them. So these women feared God and obeyed the Lord rather than Satan, or obviously Pharaoh being a type of Satan. And it says in verse 20, wherefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. They had tried to kill off some of the Jews, but it backfired, and they were even more Jews for the Egyptians to worry about. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And in other words, when they followed the Lord, then God rewarded them. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now, that's a rough thing. That's a terrible thing. In today's society, we might say that that's some sort of genocide or whatever. These kinds of things happen all throughout history. One tribe or one people deciding they don't like another, and they'll try and kill them off. This is the word of God, and the people in question are the Jews, the children of Israel. And many times the devil has tried to do something to destroy them or kill them off or what have you, or make them slaves or something. And you say, why does Satan pick on the Jews? You have to understand that, and again, we haven't really gone over the book of Genesis, but we know the fall of Genesis. We know that Satan is against mankind. We know that Satan led a rebellion against God. And in other places in Scripture, you can read about that battle that happened before Adam and Eve. But ever since then, Satan has been at war with God. And God's plan when he created man, he knew that the fall would happen. But he planned that there would be a Savior. And obviously we know him as Christ Jesus. God intended from the beginning, he made this plan that there would be a way of escape, a way out of sin, a way out of the consequences of sin. There would be an escape. And the Bible tells the story of man's problem, falling into sin, and God rescuing mankind from that sin. He takes a whole book to tell the story. And all through history, God has been trying to deal with man, and Satan has been fighting against God. And how do you fight against God? How do you possibly fight against God? Well, you can take God's creation and fight against them, and then it will somehow injure the Lord. But we know that God is victorious. We know that as one said, we read the back of the book and we win. But as we see next time in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, Satan continually fights against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, reading in Exodus, where's I thought Jesus started in Matthew. And that's correct. But God's plan started a long time before that. And as we will find, we can see Christ, as I said, in every page, practically, of the Old Testament. We can see in these first few verses of chapter 2, we can see Jesus Christ. We can see God trying to do something for man. We can see the Lord, and we can see Satan fighting against him. Now let's look at chapter 2. And there went a man from the house of Levi, and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that it was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now you understand that Pharaoh had said that all male children should die, but she went to hide her son and did it as long as she could for 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him in an ark of bulrushes, a little basket essentially, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit or to see what would be done unto him. In verse 5, and when the daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself at the river, and the maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. I guess flags are reeds, I suppose. But in verse 6, when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. You can see the providence of God, that this woman decided to keep her child alive. And obviously every woman would do so. And when she couldn't do any more, she put him in the river. And then Pharaoh's daughter came and said, you know, I want to keep this kid for myself. And the next thing we know, and again, this is God's providence, that the child's own mother is the one that nurses him. And in verse 9, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. In verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I have drawn him out of the water. And the word Moses means drawn out. Now, we'll stop the story there. But I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, I believe it is. Right, here it is. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, and we know this story. But he said in verse 2, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For you have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. Then Herod the king heard these things and was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And again, just like Egypt, Rome had something to protect. They had heard that the king, the deliverer of the Jews, was going to be born, and they were afraid, just as the Egyptians were afraid, for slightly different reasons, but still they had something to protect, and they were afraid. And verse 4, when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And that's in Micah, actually. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not the least of the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. You see, God's word prophesied that a deliverer was coming. And Rome knew this, and they were afraid. And again, we know this story. Let's start in verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And verse 11, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, in verse 18 it says, in Ramah there was a voice weeping, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. The things that happened in Egypt foreshadowed the things that happened here in the gospel story. We know this story, we've heard it again and again and again, about how Herod tried to destroy Christ by having all the children killed. This was foreshadowed by the events in the book of Exodus when Moses was born, or during the time that Moses was born, should I say, Pharaoh had commanded that all the men be killed, but Moses was miraculously saved. And that, again, foreshadows, or is a type, we say, of these events here in the gospel story. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.